Heavenly Father, we want to glorify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth. Everything is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. We thank you, Lord, because both honor and riches come from you, Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, O Lord, is power. And in thy hand is might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The power to be an overcomer is in your hand. And you have given us that power. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory for all of your excellent and exceeding great promises that you have given us. Thank you for the word of God this morning. As we bring this word this morning, hallelujah, let that light shine in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name. Glorify yourself, Lord. And let your name be praised. And let all the people know that the Lord has spoken this morning. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, this morning, I will be speaking on all things working together for your good. Amen. If you like the sound of that, you can say amen. All things working together for your good. And I already see God working in your favor. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now I'm going to start at Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse. Then later on I'm going to read the entire text out of Romans chapter 8 so that you can understand perfectly what is going on. Now Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. For them who are the called according to his purpose. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now that's where my text is taken from this morning. All things work together for good. We know that. You know, for those that love God. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, so you keep that in your mind, and I'm going to read the entire text, you know, so that you get an understanding of what he's talking about here. So I'm going to read, starting from verse 18, and I'm going to read through verse 30 of the same chapter to give you a complete understanding of what he's talking about. So verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," which many of us are going through various challenges every day. Is that correct?
Yes.
"The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen?
Amen.
Come on, people.
Amen.
"For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption," hallelujah,
"Amen,
"into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Yes.
For we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Amen?
Amen?
Oh yes, he does. "And he searcheth the hearts." He that searcheth the hearts, he knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are they called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now remember he said, for them that love God, to them who are the called, he's explaining now who they are. Them whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Those are the called. And whom he called, he also glorified. Yes. And whom he, he also justified, And him he justified, he also glorified. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Now let me go straight to this. Yes. Now, all things work together, is what he said. And I'm going to bring out some notable points here to keep in mind. The first thing we want to know here is, it is all things. Amen? And I get somebody to say, all things.
All things.
Now, that's all things. Now, that's not individual things. That's all things. So there are two key things right away I want to tell you here. That's, one is all things. The second is together. Amen? So looking at each individual circumstance individually, the things that you are going through right now, perhaps you can't pay your bills, perhaps you lost your home or whatever, that particular individual situation that you are in now, that does not constitute all things.
That's right.
Amen, somebody?
Amen.
That's just one situation that you are in. But all things taken together. Now, that's all things will work together for good to them that love God. So, we've talked about quickly, all things. And secondly, they have to work together. So, you can't look at an individual situation and say, well, I'm sick right now. I'm in hospital, whatever. I know those of you who are here, you're not in hospital. Other people may be listening to this message later on because it's recorded. You can't look at that and say, well, how can this work together for my good? Well, he didn't say your situation will work for your good. He said all things work together. Hallelujah. And that's what we are talking about this morning. Now, for good. Now, what good is he talking about? Now, he didn't say exactly that, everything will turn out right. No. He said, all things will work together for good. And that's the reason that I read that whole text, so that you may understand it. Because he starts out by saying, look, the tribulations that we are going through right now, when we read it, he said, look, I reckon the sufferings of this present time. So all of the things that we're going through right now, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So he's talking about, something that is beyond the natural. Hello? Now, the good that he is talking about here. Now, of course, I'm going to talk about both the spiritual and the natural. But the good that he's talking about here goes beyond the natural because he explains it in verse 29. Right after he talks about all things working together for good in verse 28, then he explains what he's talking about. He said, look, let me read to you again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are be called according to his purpose. And he puts this conjunction, for, in other words, relating to what I just said, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the ultimate good. Hello? That we shall be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate. Everything else that's going on, and so forth, is leading us to that until we be conformed to the image of the Christ. Because Christ does not want to be the only Son of God. In fact, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. He was talking about himself. He said, but when it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. So as long as he didn't go to the cross, which is why the devil wanted to prevent him, and said through Peter, yo, you don't need to go to the cross and so forth, and the Lord rebuked that. As long as he was, didn't die, then he couldn't bring forth, but he gave his life. And look at all the millions of souls all over the world today. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for all the people, that God has brought into the kingdom of God through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so the ultimate thing for us is to become like him. You say, well, is that what he's talking about? Absolutely, because in the book of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 36, we are told that what shall it profit a man Ephesians came and the whole world. In other words, what good is it to you? You know, so he's talking about all things working together for your good. And if you only think, if you think that the good is only for you to make a few bucks or do a few things here or not, you know, which is good, you know. But, you know, he's saying here, look, all things work together for good. But what is the good? Mark 8:36 will tell you. You know, if, what is the good, what good is it going to be for a man? If he should gain the whole world and then lose his own soul. So we see that God is looking beyond gaining the whole world in material things. Can I get somebody to say amen to that? Oh, God is looking to that, you know, beyond that. But, you know, people are so short-sighted when we go into various things in our lives and so forth, you know, that we don't see, you know, all that God is doing, you know. But I'm going to tell you something here this morning that is going to help you. Now, of course, we're going to talk on both sides, you know, both sides of the picture, you know, that, you know, I noticed they didn't put that scripture up, so I'm going to read it to you. Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, so the good that God is talking about here is beyond just gaining the whole world. Now, it is things that go eternally. It goes beyond the physical, even into eternal things. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, that's verse 17, by the way. Verse 17, I meant to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, remember, he's talking about sufferings, the sufferings of this present time. They are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And he's talking in this verse also here that our life affliction, whatever you're going through right now, you know, is only but for a moment. Amen, somebody? But it is working out. Now, remember, all things working together. Now, your light affliction right now is working out a far more exceeding weight, exceeding an eternal, yes, eternal weight of glory. That's really where he's going with all of this. Now, sometimes he might take a few trials, a few difficulties, you know, a few knockdowns from the devil, you know, to get you to cry out to God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's right. You know, sometimes it takes that. Sometimes, you know, God will do that. Sometimes, you know, in fact, God, when Joseph went down, I'm going to tell you the story of Joseph in a minute, but when Jacob, you know, went down there and they all lived there and so forth for a long time, you know, they forgot about God because they had it good. You know, well, so God took care of that. Amen? Amen? He took care of it. And then they began to oppress them and so forth, because God predicted that way in advance. You know, and then when they were, you know, oppressing them and so forth, you know, then finally they cried out to God. And then God said, okay, I've seen their afflictions. Well, the whole time they didn't cry out to God, so God did very little about it. But now I have heard their cry. See, now when you cry out to God, see, so those afflictions sometimes will lead you to cry out to God. And when you cry out to God, then God will show up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So finally they cried out, and of course, you know, God sent a deliverer down there and so forth, you know. But, you know, you hear a little more about Joseph in a minute, you know. But I want to make sure that you understand where we are going with this message. It's not just about, you know, material things, you know. But, okay, but I've talked about all things, and I've talked about together, and I've talked about, you know, the good that he is doing. Of course, it's also, we're going to talk a little more about that. But for whom? See? Because he said, you know, all things work together for those who love God. Now, things don't work together for everybody, for their good. We don't know that. You know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, we don't know. But we know, guaranteed, that those who love God, and those who are the called, they are the chosen, according to his eternal purpose, which he proposed in Christ before even the world began. You know, for those people, all things must eventually work together for their good. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how it looks now. You know, in fact, whenever God promises you something, that devil, you know, that devil you know, will be turned loose. But God allows the devil to do that, you know, because the Bible says the word of the Lord tried Joseph. So we're going to find out a little about Joseph now. But you know, when God gives a promise to you, he'll turn the devil loose sometimes, you know, and then let him try, you know, that word and see if you're going to hold on to the word of God, you know. And the devil will make it look like it's going 1,000 miles opposite to what God promised, you know. But it shouldn't matter. Amen?
Amen.
All things will work together eventually for your good if you love God and if you are one of those who are called according to his eternal purpose. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know that you are one of those that are called according to his eternal purpose? Well, you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are not walking in darkness, but you are following the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you are walking in the Spirit of God, and you are loving your brother. Because whosoever says he's walking in the light, but hates his brother, is in darkness until now. And you know that, you know, darkness, you know, you should listen to the series on light and darkness. You'll learn a lot from it. You know that darkness is what brings death, you know, but light is what brings life. So when we are walking in light, Jesus said, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, so when we, you know, when you love God, so that's how you know. You see, he said, this is how we know that we have eternal God, you know, eternal life in us, because we love our brethren. Hallelujah. And we are passed from death unto life, because we have believed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and you are here, and God has given you the earnest of the Spirit of God. You know, so you know that you are one of those that are called. You know, here's the way I like to describe it. You know, there is a door, you know, which says on the front of the door, everybody's looking at this, you know, and I love this word, whosoever. I've always said that that's the greatest word in the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is whosoever. It's not, it's, you know, God is not, you know, restricted to one person. It's whosoever. Whosoever will, let him come and enter into this door of life. You know, that's on the one side. You see that, you know. That's the invitation of the gospel. The power of God goes through the gospel to bring people unto salvation. So do you see the door? On this side, it says, whosoever will, let him enter. You know, well, and everybody's looking at that and say, well, why should I enter? Well, fine. You know, if you don't want to enter, you may not enter. But on the other side, once you are entered and then you look back and see the door, it says on the other side of the door, you have been chosen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Because when we are here on this side, we don't know who has been chosen. Until when you get in there, then that means you have been chosen. Because no one can come unto the Father except by me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And no one can come except the Father draws him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. So we understand that. You know, so when we look at those who are, for whom is this promise? They are those who love God and those who are called according to his eternal purpose. But let me say, even though we are talking about eternal purpose, God will use natural things sometimes in the furtherance of working towards his eternal purpose. How many of you know that? Well, if you don't know that, let me tell you that in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive. That's a natural thing. Amen? It is a natural process to conceive and to bring forth a baby. And the baby had to go through all these kind of things that babies go through and so forth. In fact, one time, Herod wanted to kill him, you know, with all the other babies and so forth. And the Lord also again used a natural dream to save his life. Hello? In the book of Matthew chapter 2 and verses 13 to 15, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the night and said, look, in a dream, he said, I want you to wake up, I want you to get up, take the mother and his child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. Because, so, you know, there is someone that's seeking his life to destroy. And then he went there and so forth. But God did that so that it may be fulfilled, that which was spoken. Amen? By the prophet Hosea, in Hosea 11 and verse 1, that out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, so, you know, we know that prophecy was twofold. Jesus fulfilled it, and of course, you know, Israel fulfilled it later on and so on. You know, God called them out of there, you know. He called actually Israel first, and then Jesus fulfilled it later. You know, let me correct that. You know, but, so we see that God uses even sometimes natural things. He had to use natural things in bringing down his eternal purpose of redemption. You know, so let's not completely discount natural things in this message. You know, even though we know that we are looking for something that is beyond the natural. Amen? But see, the spiritual thing doesn't come first. First the natural, then that which is spiritual. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to look at some natural things, you know, that, you know, that God is doing, you know, and that's, you know, all of you here are in the natural. You're sitting down in these chairs. You're looking at me, and I'm holding this mic. But sitting down here naturally and so forth, and you go through these things in the natural. You got to go through your work, you know. I mean, sometimes you have a problem on the job. You know, things don't go right and so forth. These are natural things. But how can God make all these things work together for your good? Amen? That's what I'm going to be talking about now. How can God make all these things? Now, not one individual thing. I want to emphasize that. It is not one individual thing that you are going through. Amen, somebody? I mean, maybe your child is sick and so forth, you know, and you know, have to rush them to the hospital, or a family member is sick and you have to rush them to the hospital, and after that, you know, something else happens, and then another problem happens, and you say, well, how, you know, hold on now. Remember His word. We know that all things, now that's just not one or two or three things, that's all things in your life. Amen? Will eventually work for good. Because you love God, and because you have been called according to His eternal purpose. So, let me tell you a couple of stories here. You know, maybe on account of time, I might restrict it to just one story. I want to tell you the story of Joseph in the Bible. You know, of course, you can read Genesis chapter 37, and then chapters 39 through 50. All of those chapters will tell you the story of Joseph. But let me paraphrase it for some of you in case you're new, and you may not have heard this story. Well, Joseph, of course, was one of the children that Jacob had in his old age. And he loved Joseph. Of course, Joseph had some other brothers, you know, and he loved Joseph, Jacob did, more than his other brothers, and gave him a rainbow coat and all of that stuff. You know, so, you know, and Joseph was a man that was gifted with dreams. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you can read all about that in Genesis 37. And he was gifted with dreams. And he often told some of his dreams, you know, to his siblings. And even one time he told it to one of his dreams to his dad, you know, and all that. So let me read a portion of that to you and so on. You know, so now, Joseph often had these dreams, like I said, you know, in Genesis chapter 37. And verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, they already hated him because his father loved him more, you know. So they hated him for that. So every time he told these dreams, they hated him even more. So he told them the dream, said, look, you know, when we were in the field and so forth, you guys were making some sheaves, and I was making my own sheaves too. We're gathering the wheat, and then all the things that you gathered, bow down to the ones that I gathered. And all his brothers said, are you trying to say that? I mean, what are you trying to say? That we are going to bow down to you. So they hated him. Well, another day he had another dream in verse 9 and said, behold, I dreamt another dream. And I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they made obeisance to me. That's the bow down to me. and then his father said, well, gee, you know, I don't know about this thing and so on. So in verse 11, the brethren envied him the more. Even the father said, are you saying that myself, your mom, and all these people bow down to you? Well, then Joseph said, well, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling the dream like it is. Amen? Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. He had a dream. Right. And he told the dream like it was. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. And let the dream be according to the interpretation thereof. You know, and that the interpretation is known unto God. But he told the dream. And in verse 11, his brethren envied him and his father, but his father observed the same. Oh yeah, his father was a man of God. So he kept that saying. He said, this thing that this boy has said, I'm going to check this thing out. So he kept it in his mind, you know. And the story went on and so forth like that, you know. You know, Joseph stayed at home because the father didn't want him to go places and so on. Of course, he was, you know, one of the youngest at the time, you know. And then his brethren went and kept sheep in the field and so forth. So one day his father sent him to them, go check him out and so on. You know, and then when they saw him coming apart, they said, aha, here comes this dreamer of dreams. You know, let's bump him off right now. And then we'll see what will become of those dreams. you know, and you know, one said this and the other said that and so forth, you know. And then one of his older brothers said, well, let's not have any blood in our hands. Let's not do that. You know, try to persuade him. So they looked around and saw, you know, so finally they saw a dungeon. They said, all right, well, let's just throw him in there and so forth like that. You know, and I believe it was Reuben, you know, he had a plan. He had a plan to come back and sneak in and get him out of there in the night. You know, he had a plan, you know, and so he said, you know, and then they put him in the dungeon. And later on, you know, as they were all there, they saw a caravan of people coming. You know, and they look like merchants. And then he asked them, hey, where are you guys going? They said, you know, where are all these things you have? They said, well, we're, you know, slave trade, caravan, and so we're going to Egypt. They said, Egypt? My goodness, that's far enough. So they said, well, we have somebody here that we can sell to you. You know, you're taking him to Egypt? That's far enough. That's far away enough. Our father will never know about it. You know, so, of course, they sold him to Egypt and all that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, and then when Reuben came back, my goodness, he couldn't find him, and he lamented because he wasn't there at the time. You know, so anyway, they sold Joseph to Egypt. You know the story. Some of you may. I'm telling this for the benefit of those who may not, or to refresh your mind if you did know the story. You know, so they sold him to Egypt, and Egypt, you know, he went down to Egypt, became a slave, and so forth. You know, and all these people, they sold him to the house of Potiphar, who was the chief of military staff for Pharaoh. You know, if you want to put it that way. Army chief of staff. So, you know, but God was with him. Amen. And God continued to prosper him. You know, now, you know, and I guarantee you this. When they throwed Joseph into that dungeon that day, before they sold him to the slave caravan, you know, he cried for help. There was no, they wouldn't listen to him. And his brothers, you know, said, yeah, we'll see about those dreams now. You know, we'll see. We're going to leave you there to perish. You know, and then, of course, I guarantee you the enemy, the devil, would have come and, you know, whisper to him too. Yeah, we'll see about those dreams now, you know. And then when they brought him out and sold him into slavery, and he was like, you know, and in his mind, he might have thought, well, you know, if I was in my hometown, among my home brethren, you know, maybe there's a somewhat of a chance that this dream might come to pass. Because in my own country, I'll have a chance to become a great man. And maybe I'll become a great man, and eventually I'll be greater than my brethren. And maybe they will, you know, eventually know and learn that God has fulfilled his dream, you know. Maybe so he might be thinking in his mind that, you know, how in the world is this going to happen now? So now they're carrying him away to Egypt. Hello, anybody?
Yeah.
You know, every opportunity, every chance in his human mind that this dream will have a chance of being fulfilled. Of being fulfilled, he's now blown away. Because now he's going into a country where he's going to be an alien. He's not going to have, I mean, and they're even going to be a slave, is what it is. And all that, you know. So, of course, the favor of God was with him. Amen? Because once the favor of God is on your life, I don't care whether they throw you in the dungeon. I don't care whether they sell you to the slave caravan or carry you away to a far country. The favor of God tended to life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
And he prospered. And everything he touched prospered. Oh, my goodness. You know, and even the house of, you know, and Potiphar began to see that, man, there's something with this young child. You know, so he put him in charge of everything. And everything that, you know, he did began to prosper. And God began to prosper the house of Potiphar just because of Joseph.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. So one day, here comes that old wily serpent. Got inside of Potiphar's wife. You know, say, hey, Joseph, you know, come here and let's do some things. And Joseph said, no, as the Lord thy God liveth, I will not do this great wickedness.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Against my master and against my God more particularly. You know, and the woman, every single day, she tried to seduce him. But Joseph wouldn't, you know, give in. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Joseph would not give in.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Didn't matter how strong the seduction was. And that lady, I guarantee you, was really beautiful. You know, but one day, Joseph went in the house to do his business, and there was nobody else there, as he always did, and the woman was there. So she got a hold of him, you know, and said, well, you know, today is the day. And Joseph, you know, struggled free, ran away, and in the process, his garment tore, you know, as the woman was holding him, and so he ran away. So this woman had this thing and she felt disgraced in her hand. So the devil whispered to her, "Yeah, you got him now. Got his garments in your hand." So she said, "Well," so she cried, you know. And then when her Lord came in, which was her master, I mean her husband, she said, "Look, this Hebrew that you put in the house came in here to defile me today. Look at his garment right here." You know. She framed him. "Hello, somebody?" And the man's anger was kindled in him, and so finally he said, "You know, this is how you repay me? I put you in charge of my house and all of this." And Joseph said, "You know, I didn't do nothing. You know, I ran away and so forth." But, you know, the man believed his wife over a slave. Amen? Amen, somebody? That's why he believed his wife. You know, so, you know, they cast him. And the man was the chief of military staff. So he had a military prison, you know, that was under his command. So he cast him into the prison, you know, and just put him there, you know. But as soon as Joseph got to prison, God began to give him favor again. Hallelujah, somebody. The favor of God went with him even to the prison. Now, this is one man that is so favored that there is no way, nothing you can do to him that the favor of God is going to lift from him. So the captain of the prison guard, you know, as soon as he saw Joseph, he said, "Well, I'm going to put you in charge of all the prison people. You know, you whatever you say goes in here." Amen? So again, Joseph was in charge. So finally, one day, you know, Pharaoh's butler and his baker, you know, they pissed off their boss, which was Pharaoh. So Pharaoh sent them to jail. And as soon as they came to jail, now this were, I mean, this was like somebody who is like a secretary of something, you know. So they are noted people. So when they came into jail, the jailer said, "Oh, Joseph, I want you to attend to these people and take special care of them because, you know, they are dignitaries and so forth." So they gave them special, you know, quarters and so forth. And so Joseph was attending to them. So one day, Joseph went to look at them and so forth, saying, "Is everything all right?" And he saw that they were both saddened. They had this sad look on their faces. And Joseph said, "My goodness, what's going on? Why are you all so saddened today?" And he said, "Well, because we had a dream. You know, I had a dream last night and it troubled me." The other one said, "I had a dream last night and it troubled me." He said, "Well, what is your dream?" Well, one said, "Well, you know, I saw after this manner, you know, I saw this and that and so forth." The other one said, "I saw this and that and so forth." And Joseph interpreted the dreams. He said, "Well, for you, this is the way it's going to be. In 3 days, the three branches you saw, there are 3 days, you know, and so forth. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to call for you and restore you to your former position." He said, "But when you get there, remember me." Of course, the man didn't. And he said to the other man, "You know, well, you know, I had three baskets, you know, and so forth. The birds were eating out of it." He said, "Well, I'm sorry, but your own dream is not as good. In 3 days, they will call for you, but they are going to cut your head off. You know, actually, they're going to hang you and so on." You know, so those two dreams came to pass exactly like that. And the man that was restored, he went back and so forth. He was Pharaoh's, you know, cup, you know, bearer and so forth, the one that, you know, served, you know, his things and so on. You know, so one day, Pharaoh himself had a dream. And it troubled him. You know. Amen? He saw seven fat cows and seven lean cows, and the lean cows devoured the fat cows. And, you know, those lean cows, even after they had eaten all those fatted cows, they still looked very lean. So he couldn't understand it. The next day he heard, you know, he had another dream, you know, similar. So finally, you know, he called all the Egyptians, you know, magicians in the land and so forth. They couldn't tell the dream. And all of a sudden, my goodness, this butler, he remembered. He said, "Wow, I have not done the right thing. There was a young man, you know, among the slaves of Hebrews, you know, and so forth. I mean, you know, that was in there that told my dream. And it happened exactly. Both me and the other man, he told our dreams and it happened exactly. You know, we should call for this one." So they called for Joseph. Now God is working. Amen? Amen. Now all things are now working. Amen? Amen. All things are working. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. But let me pause here right now and tell you something. You know, Joseph, when he went to Egypt, he was sold to the house of Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was a great man in the land, but he was not the greatest man in the land. Amen? 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 And that opportunity to do something that's going to turn the heart of Pharaoh would not have happened if he had not gone to that prison. Hello, somebody? He would have just been in Potiphar's house. The Lord would be blessing Potiphar's house, and maybe he would become, you know, the chief master of all the slaves or whatever. I don't know what he would have become. You know, but he had to go to prison. The Lord sent his word. The word of the Lord tried him. He went to prison, and in prison, you know, God sent somebody that will be in a position to tell Pharaoh about him.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
And then finally, Pharaoh said, call the man, call the young man. And when the young man came, Pharaoh said, I've heard this said about you and so forth like that. Is it true that you can't interpret dreams? And Joseph said, interpretation of dreams belongeth unto God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
He said, but let the Pharaoh tell his dream. Hallelujah. So the Pharaoh told his dream, and after he said it, well, Joseph said, I'll tell you something, Mr. Pharaoh. You know, God has doubled this dream to you twice because of the imminent thing that God is about to do. And God has shown Pharaoh, and you say God will use natural things to bring about his purpose? Absolutely. He was going to use the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, which is what Joseph interpreted the dreams as. And he said, look, the first 7 years are like the fatted cows and this other thing you saw, and they are going to be so fat and so forth. But the 7 lean cows that come after that, and the other dream the same, will consume those 7 fat years, and you know, people will forget all of the plenty of those 7 years because of the, you know, how brutal the hardship and the things that will come in the next 7 years, you know, and all that. And he said, God has shown you. Well, God showed, and Pharaoh wasn't a man of God. He wasn't even a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
He worshipped the Egyptian gods and all of that.
Yeah.
But will God use whatever he wants to use in order to fulfill his purpose?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Because that's what makes him God.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So Joseph said, well, here's what you're going to do. Now Joseph, of course, not only did he have the word of knowledge, but he had a word of wisdom. And they begin to say, look, this is how you're going to do it. You search out a man in the land that has skill and understanding. And here's what you're going to do. When the land is plenty in those first 7 years, let everybody make a decree that everybody must give the fifth part of all their increase to Pharaoh. Pharaoh like that. Amen? The fifth part of everything? My goodness, well, I love that. You know, I am Pharaoh after all. You know, I make this decree and it's going to happen. You know, so say, you know, and I say, well, what do I do after that? Then Joseph laid out not only an economic recovery plan, amen?
Yeah.
He laid it all out,
yeah,
by the gift of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, not only did he interpret the dream, he gave exactly what needs to be done, you know, and so forth. He laid it out beautifully. You know, he said, look, when the 7 years of leanness come, they will forget all the prosperity that God's going to bless you in these 7 years. You know, and say, in that day, they will come to you. And then you get everything from them. They have to buy the corn that you lay in those. Say, where are we going to say build storehouses and lay up this corn and so on. So Joseph laid, and they said, so Pharaoh turned to his all his lords, said, where are we going to find such a man like this? You know, to do this. Well, some of them said, well, you know, yours truly. You know, and Joseph said, you know, Joseph didn't say anything. He just stood there. And Pharaoh said, well, I tell you what. Inasmuch as the spirit of the living God is upon you to not only interpret the dream and give us wisdom of what to do, you will be the one.
Yeah.
You are the man.
Yeah.
And he said, I am Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And today I make you ruler over all the land.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Except in my throne only will I be greater than you. Nobody will come, nobody will go, except Joseph says it.
Yes.
I said, bring my ring right now. Bring the royal ring. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
And they put the royal ring in his hand.
Okay.
And they say, I am Pharaoh, and this is Joseph, the ruler of the land.
Hallelujah.
Give a lot of praise, somebody. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
From prison.
Hallelujah.
To rule out the land. All things walking together. Hallelujah. Not only to bring to pass some good for Joseph. He was good for Joseph. He finally got promoted and all that. But there was something beyond that.
That's right.
That God wanted to do. Now, at this point in time, Jacob was almost 100-something years old. So he was about 116 years old. So, you know, and finally Joseph did all of these things. Of course, He didn't know anything about his father back home. The father didn't know anything about him. Thought he was dead and all that. So Joseph, he prospered in the land, and he rode through the land, and everybody bowed to Joseph. You know, and Joseph did, he executed the plan that he had in place. The 7 years of plenty, they built storehouses. They stored the grain and everything. And everybody who was plenteous in all of their increase gave a fifth part of it to Pharaoh. And in fact, that decree stood in the land of Egypt for a long time. You know, and so when the years of plenty were over, the years of famine started, just like Joseph said. And everybody that, after they ran out of their corn and everything, they had to come to Joseph, you know, actually to Pharaoh, but they came to Joseph, you know, for the corn reserves. Hello? And Joseph sold to them, and he would get their money and give them some corn. And after they ran out of their money, Joseph said, bring your cattle. They gave their cattle. And after they ran out of cattle, Joseph said, bring your land. And he got all of these things for Pharaoh. And every time he increased Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, my goodness, I've never seen somebody like this. You know, so God was setting Joseph up the whole time. You know, and he kept having favor and favor and favor before Pharaoh. So finally, you know, the family traveled all over to Canaan and all of these places and so on, you know, and to the land of Jordan and all the other places. And it affected Jacob and the rest of Joseph's family. So they heard that there was plenty in Egypt. So they said, well, we got to go down there and buy corn. You know, so, you know, they went down there and bought, you know, to buy corn and all of that and so forth. You know, and the story went that, you know, Joseph played some tricks on them when he recognized, of course, they did not recognize him because he was clad in the Egyptian thing, and he spoke to them through an interpreter. You know, so they didn't know that he could speak the Hebrew language, and they were speaking in Hebrew, but he was understanding them. Amen?
Amen.
So finally, he played some tricks on them, you know, did a lot of things. I'm going to cut the story short. When they bought some things, he put back their money, sent them away and all that, you know. And he had told them that, well, before that, he told them that they were spies, you know, and so on. Because he spoke roughly to them just to check them out. You know, remember, you are the people that tried to kill him. So he spoke roughly to them. He said, oh, we are not spies. So they told him, look, we are not spies. He said, well, if you are not spies, where are you from? He said, well, you know, who are you? Are you all of you from one grand? You know, he said, yeah. He said, in fact, we, you know, we are, you know, 12 brothers, you know. And there's 10 of us right here. Our youngest is at home and so on, you know, because he's too young to travel on this journey. And one of our brothers is dead, you know. And Joseph said, you are, you know, you all came from one father. Is your father yet alive? He said, yes, he's yet alive. That the little boy that you said, he said, he's yet alive. And Joseph said, my goodness. Well, you are all spies. You know, you go and bring this young man that you said, you know, of course that was Joseph's little brother from the same mother. Amen?
Amen.
You go bring this boy, Benjamin, and if you don't bring him, you know, then I'll know you were spies. So, because the story went, they went home, they discovered their money was returned to them and so forth, and they told their father all of the things that happened, you know, and their father was grieved, and they said, well, we need to go back and take this boy, because this man said we are spies, and, you know, he won't give us food next time. And Joseph said, Jacob said, no way. You know, no way. Because before then also, Simeon, you know, stayed behind in the land of Egypt and said, look, give me Shorty. Joseph said, I'm going to keep this guy, Simeon, as Shorty. Now, Simeon was the one that had said, look, they don't let kill him, let's sell him to the slaves, I think. So he kept that one, Shorty, and said, well, when you bring this young man back that you spoke of, I'll let Simeon go. So Jacob said, look, Joseph is dead. Simeon, I don't know what happened to him. Now you want to bereave me of Benjamin again? No, it's not going to happen. You know, I'm too old for this. You know, so finally they kept on and kept on and kept on. Then when they ran out of corn, they had no more choice. They had to go back. And so they said, look, we've got to do this. Reuben said, look, I promise I'll bring the child back. The father said, no. Judah said, look, I promise I'll bring the child back. Kill my children. Do anything if I don't bring them back. You know, so anyway, they had to go. And when they went finally with Benjamin, the story went that Joseph finally could not contain himself. Then he had to reveal himself to his brethren. But I tell you, before all of that happened, the first time they came, they all bowed down before him. Just like the dream said. And they said, my Lord, we are your servants. We are not spies. They bowed down to him and did obeisance to him, just like the dream said. And the second time they came back, they all bowed down to him again. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, and then of course, finally he made himself known unto them. When they finally came back, he revealed himself to them and so forth. And then he said to them, look, you know, you guys meant me for evil and so on, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah, somebody. God sent me into the land ahead of you, you know, so that, you know, he will make sure that, you know, through me coming here, there will be preservation of life to our people. Amen. Praise God. You know, hallelujah. So finally, you know, he sent them back and so forth. You know, of course, he fed them and gave Benjamin a lot more than all the others and so forth. And he sent them back, put all their money back, sent wagons and chariots and so forth to bring his father back. And they go back and say, Joseph is alive. And the father couldn't believe it. He said, well, come on, we'll show you all the chariots that he sent for us to bring you back. You know, in the meantime, Joseph had gone to Pharaoh. You know, when his brothers came, and Pharaoh heard the news of it. And Joseph said, you know, and of course God has prepared him favor and favor and favor and favor before Pharaoh. In fact, if Joseph had asked anything, Pharaoh would have done it. Amen? But he already said it, accept my throne. Anything else is yours. And so Joseph said, well, you know, I'm going to send for my family. And, you know, and he said, great, do it. You know, so when they came, of course, Joseph gave them understanding. He said, look, Egyptians don't like shepherds. You know, but there's a land that is very flourishing. It's called Goshen. It's wonderful. Egyptians hate shepherds. So you just, when they ask you, you tell them you are shepherds, which they were, and they're going to send you over to that land. So they asked him, Pharaoh asked them, said, oh, we are shepherds and so forth. And Joseph said, give them this land. And he did. And God saved Jacob and Israel. Because Jacob was Israel. But before he went down there, God told him in a dream. He said, look, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, because I will make you a great nation there. Hallelujah, somebody. And God used all those things that happened to Joseph to bring to pass the plans of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, you know, way back in Genesis chapter 15, God told Abraham, you know, when he told him, you know, the promise, he told him, look, your seed, this was when Abraham didn't even have a child. He told him, your seed is going to go down to the land that they know not, and they're going to torment them for 430 years and all that stuff. You know. So, it finally came to pass that the dream of Joseph came about. And all his brethren and so forth, and even his father, when he came, he was ruler over everybody. Just like the dream said. Is somebody still with me here this morning? And finally, we can look back now and say, all things did eventually work together, not only for the good of Joseph, but also for the salvation of his people during the time of famine. Hallelujah, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, let me quickly read this in Genesis chapter 15. And let me just read verses 19 to 21. And Joseph, you know, so finally, before this happened, you know, his father got old at 130 years old. And he, you know, he died and had told them, look, you got to take me back and bury me over here where Leah is and all that. You know, so Joseph said, look, I got to go bury my dad. He asked permission of Pharaoh. So he went, they did that, and he came back. So when they came back, you know, now that their father was no longer alive, his brothers were afraid of him again. And they said, look, now, you know, all of the evil that we did is going to catch up with us. This man is going to deal roughly with us again. Our father is not here anymore to keep the peace. And they spoke to Joseph and they begged him. And here's what Joseph said. Verse 19 of verse 50 of chapter 50 of Genesis. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! All things that you did unto me, put me in the dungeon, sold me into slavery, and even all the things that happened to me, all of that was working together for good. Amen. To bring to pass as it is this day, so that we shall save much people alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give a lot of praise in here, somebody. Hallelujah. All those things working together for good. Now, whatever God has ordained in your life, the present trials that you are going through cannot prevent the purpose of God from being fulfilled in your life. If you believe that, you can say amen. In closing, let me read this this thing to you here, this text in 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read from verse 3 of 1 Peter. Now, Peter also is going to explain how this thing works with trials and things that you are going through. Starting from verse 3, I'm going to read a little context so that you can understand it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the final analysis. Amen?
Amen.
And we are kept right now by the power of God, he said. We are kept through faith unto salvation. Such a salvation that will be revealed to us at the last time. And we are rejoicing now, he said, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice now, even though now for a season, if need be. Notice that phrase, if need be. Now there are sometimes, like I said to you in the beginning, there is needful, you know, there's a need sometimes for God to allow some temptations and trials, you know, to wake you up and get you back crying unto God. Amen? So if need be, you are in heaviness right now through manifold distress and different things you are facing, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, when it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that's where it's all headed. All of the things that you are doing right now is to bring you into a place where you can receive honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now, you know, you see him, even though you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end. What is the goal? What is it all about? Well, the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. So that is what it's all about. God is going to use all of these things to make sure he brings you to the place where he has prepared for you, and the place that the purpose that he ordained in Christ concerning you even before the world began. So, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, as you face every challenge and every difficulty that you are going through today, remember the word of the Lord. That all things, hallelujah. Everybody say,
all things
are working together
for my good.
That's right. That's all things because you love God and because you are called according to his purpose. Let's start to our feet in here this morning. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can do better than that. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we have seen how everything happened, and still God brought the world to pass in the life of Joseph. And at the end of it, he did rule the world nearly. And everybody bowed to him just like the dream said. And all the things that he went through was, you know, eventually working together to bring him to the place where God had proposed. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you may be here this morning, and you may be saying, well, I'm going through a lot of things, and I just don't see how these things may be working for my good. Well, you know, you must take God at his word. Can I get an amen on that? Take God at his word. God said it, so it shall be. All things will work together, eventually, for your good. Lift up your hand this morning. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to release Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release upon you the understanding concerning his word, that because You love God. And because you are called according to his eternal purpose, that all things shall work together for your good. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no matter what you are going through today, and some of you know this, you know, sometimes things are not going well on your job, and God has to move you out of there because he wants to give you something better. If you know that that's true, I want you to say amen to that. Some of you have experienced that already. And if you haven't experienced it and you are going through some things right now, you know, God might put you in a straight place and in a narrow place because he wants you to expand and you have not been able to expand. So he might make the situation uncomfortable for you. Amen, somebody. Because he wants to give you a greater blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I pray that the Lord will bring that greater blessing into your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The greater blessings that God has promised, let them come into your life in Jesus' name. Even as the word of the Lord tried Joseph, some of you have been tried today. God has promised you some great things. But you are going through distress. Nobody believes it when you say the great things that God has told you that you're going to happen. They laugh at you, they mock you. You know, even the enemy might rise up against you and create all kinds of things. You know, just to make sure that the word of God doesn't come to pass any things in your life. But I assure you, just like Joseph, the word of God concerning you will come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch over your word in the lives of your people and make it come to pass. All things working together for their good eventually and bringing them not only into a better place, but bringing us gradually and finally into the fullness of the image of Christ and the glory of God where you want us to be. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.